Turn to Psalm 23. You can find it in the Bible on page 458. I'm talking about the gospel through the Bible. So we've gone through portions of the Torah and the prophets. We come now to the book of Psalms. Let's give your attention to the Word of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As we come to Psalm 23, the most beloved of the 150. And what does it say? It says, follow your shepherd and be at peace. I've been reading a book by David Murray, Jesus in the Old Testament. He asserts that when you sing the Psalms, you sing about Jesus, you sing with Jesus, and you sing to Jesus. He says this is true of all the Psalms. Tonight I want to see how it's true of Psalm 23. I want to show you how we sing Psalm 23. And you sing about Jesus, you sing with Jesus, and you sing to Jesus. We sing about Jesus. We begin, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's just four words in Hebrew. You can do great things in Hebrew. That's four words. So much confidence in so few words. But who is this Lord? We say God. Good, good. But of course, who is God? There's one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're not to think of God the Father exclusively. God is my shepherd. And the New Testament applies this word Lord, this word Yahweh, to Jesus in particular in places. And so we can ask, is there a particular way in which we mean Jesus is my shepherd? We go to John chapter 10 and Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And so yes, in a particular way we could sing about Jesus. And think of him when we say, the Lord is my shepherd. Yes, Jesus is our shepherd. We shall not want, that is lack, that is not have something that you need. Why not? Because he will provide. He makes me lie down in green pastures. When you picture a flock of sheep, they're at rest. They can lie down. They can eat. They can sleep. They can do whatever sheep want to do. So that is us. We have food. Jesus says the Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He leads us beside still waters. We have a drink. He knows we need the food and the drink we shall not want. And it says he restores my soul. Yeah, we went from lacking, we went from food and rest, body things, to a soul thing, because we're body and soul. And the two are very close. And if your body has needs, your soul is not at rest. What will I eat? It's a real question. So he provides for my body. And it's not just a blessing to the body, it's a blessing to the soul. He restores it as he preserves my body. Now, if we stick with the sheep metaphor, we can come to a problem. Let the flock of sheep stay in one place for a while, and they will eat up all the grass, and they have to move. Jesus is my shepherd. He knows how to take care of me here, but does he know how to direct me there when this is used up? What's your next issue? He leads me. Yes, Jesus, our shepherd, directs us. He takes us down the path. He takes us where we need to go. But of course, we're not sheep. We're people. We can look out. We have GPS. We can find our own way places. Jesus gives us moral direction. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Notice we have the standard and the purpose. He has the standard. He leads me in paths of righteousness. And we have God's law to tell us what is right. There it is. Do it. The path of righteousness. But as a poet said, it's a last treason to do the right deed for the wrong reason. Then it is sin. To do the right thing with an evil purpose. There is sin in that. So we have the right purpose here as well. For his name's sake. If he leads me in paths of righteousness, not so that we can be arrogant or that we can be self-satisfied, it's for his name's sake, for his glory. So Jesus provides, Jesus directs. But what about the bad times? This can seem too peaceful. You say, this is very sweet, but it's not real life. It's like the paintings of the guy with all the lights. Yes, all right, so great, but is that my real life? This is all right. Let's take a bad case scenario. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's a bad place. You don't want to go there. If you have the option, don't go there. And yet you have to. At some point in your life, if not several points, you will have to. So what does it say then? It says, even there, I will fear no evil. Not fear. Not just, I'll scrape out of it somehow. I will not fear. How can that be? Well, because you are with me. It's an emphatic you here. It's really, there's an emphasis there. You are with me. And you'll notice here, instead of talking about the Lord my shepherd, he does this, he does that, he does the other. Instead of talking in the third person, now in danger, you turn to Jesus and you speak in the second person. You are with me. And I think that's a spiritual lesson to draw. It is fine to speak of God in the third person and talk about him and draw our confidence, but when you are in danger, when you are really pressed, it is time to turn towards God and speak to him. You. Because you are with me. And you're armed. I always wonder as a kid, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I thought, well, why is that comforting? I thought he was the shepherd who hit the sheep with those things. And I realized, no. That's what the shepherd has to ward off the wolves with. That's the weapons for the shepherd. We talked this morning about Psalm 2. He will rule them with a rod of iron. And it's the same word, rod. Okay, those are the weapons with which he protects us. That's the comfort. You're with me, and you're armed, so I will be all right. So Jesus, our shepherd, he provides, he directs, he protects, and yet we're not sheep, so we need another figure of speech, and he provides it. Jesus is also our gracious host. You set me a table. Still in the second person. It's another way to say you provide, but now we're obviously picturing people. People eat at a table. We're not lying down in pastures like sheep. You set a table. And even then you protect me. It's in the face of my enemies. I didn't do a deep Hebrew study, but my reader's lexicon suggested a certain sense of enemies, those who vex, those who harass. Now that's vexing and harassing, but those aren't fatal words. Yes, he's protecting us. It's negative things, but we are not injured. and he will refresh us. You anoint my head with oil. My little lexicon suggested again, literally, make fat my head with oil. In which they say, well, how do you do that? You pour oil on the head, you anoint. Okay. But I will be clean, I will be perfumed, and he will provide more than is needed. My cup overflows, more than the cup can hold, more than I need. So when we combine shepherd and host, well, then we have our God, now and forever. Surely goodness and mercy, tov and hesed, surely they will pursue me. And so I learned that next word. So to follow, I learned it as pursue, and I love that. You think of your enemies pursuing you, the words used that way plenty. And yet here it's goodness and mercy pursuing you, like you can't get away from goodness and mercy, because the Lord is our shepherd. You live with the Lord forever. It's a beautiful psalm of confidence in Jesus our Lord. We are singing about Jesus, our shepherd and our host. But sometimes life doesn't seem that way. And the Psalms say that. Psalm 22 is the previous one. My God, why have you forsaken me? My enemies are surrounding me. They cast lots for my clothing. They pierce my hands and my feet. That's the previous Psalm. Great distress. And then you have this placid, peaceful Psalm. And you can read it in isolation and say, yeah, but life isn't a walk in a green park. Do you know what you're talking about, God? We also sing this psalm with Jesus. With him, because Jesus sang, chanted, whatever it was, sang psalms in synagogue. That's what he sang. We have very different tunes. We have the same lyrics. And so that's what he quoted. Not just in debate, but in distress. They're his songs. They say that they're by or about David. Well, Jesus is the son of David, and he claims them very clearly. End of Luke. Everything written in the Psalms about me has to be fulfilled. So when we sing the Psalms, we're singing with Jesus. So we can think of him as he walked the earth as we do, born of woman as we are, made under the law as we are. We can see his confidence. When he was hungry and tempted to turn the stones into bread, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. That is to say, I will not want, though I am hungry, still I know that God will provide. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Jesus didn't get to go around on a tour bus. He had nowhere to lay his head. And yet he always slept somewhere. Always there was a place for him to lay down. When the waters were turbulent, he told them to be still. And then he was beside still waters. And he was often in prayer. That was a problem for my college roommate, sort of raised in a hazily Christian context, but you remember him saying, well, Jesus prays to God, so he's not God. End of discussion. All Tavis wants to hear about. Okay. Will Father and Son talk to each other? So Jesus would go to commune with God the Father in prayer. God the Father would then restore his human soul. Often we see him in prayer, communing with him, being restored. And as for the worst case scenario, Jesus had a worst case scenario. He went through the valley of death. He died, but did not shrink back. He persevered. And he has it worse than us, because he endured Psalm 22, temporary abandonment by God. Why have you forsaken me? Something he temporarily endured so that we would not have to. So that in advance, he could say, I will eat this new with you in the kingdom of God. So confident was he that God had prepared a table for him, that before his death, he said, I look forward to eating this with you new in the kingdom of God. And so where now is he? He's in the presence of God the Father forever. We don't just sing about Jesus in Psalm 23. We sing with Jesus. He is our shepherd, but also our brother. He has endured all that we endure. He endured it without sin, trusting God the Father to be his shepherd. We can sing Psalm 23 with Jesus, just as he sang it and lived it before us. Which is why we can sing to Jesus, as he's exalted to the right hand of God the Father, as he's God the Son, equally to be worshipped with the Father. We can sing it to Jesus as the sheep of his pasture, as humble and trusting creatures. Sheep, they're weak on their own, but they're all right in the right hands. And so it is with us. We're to be not proud, not arrogant, not violent, not anxious, but peaceable. Sing as the sheep of his pasture, Psalm 100. We're to sing to Jesus as those who were saved by his grace. Notice that the relationship here comes first. The Lord is my shepherd. That's how it is. That's where we start. That's the relationship he has established. Notice that that means provision. He provides for me. He protects me. Notice we then hear about our soul being restored. Because apart from him, we can do nothing. Apart from him, the source of all good, we're dead in sin if we are parted from the source of life. But once he restores our soul, then we're born again to a living hope. Then we can please God. And so then it says, he leads me in paths of righteousness. If we were to be saved by works, that would have to come first. I walk in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Therefore, the Lord is my shepherd. And you could follow the psalm from there. But that's not how it reads. No, we're saved by grace. The relationship first. The regeneration. And then we are able and we are called to walk in the path of righteousness. We sing to Jesus as the sheep of his pasture, as those saved by his grace in anticipation of the kingdom of God. After the valley of the shadow of death, then we hear about a banquet. And Jesus described the kingdom of God as a banquet repeatedly. So he calls us to sing through the shadows and the trials in anticipation of the kingdom of God, in anticipation of great hope. So we can sing to Jesus, but why sing? Why sing? Singing's personal. Singing's vulnerable. Singing's emotional. Why sing? You say, well, he protects us, he guards us, he saves us, he gives us the kingdom of God. That's why. But you can push forward. We sing to praise him. For his name's sake. Because at the heart of things is the question of glory. Who gets it? Is it for you? And that's the path of death. When you seek the glory for yourself. Now you sing to Jesus to praise Jesus. Sing to Jesus to glorify Jesus. For his name's sake. To take your eyes off yourself. And your neighbor even for a moment, so that you can focus on him. You sing to Jesus as his sheep saved by grace, in hope of the kingdom of God and for his name. And lastly, you sing to quiet your soul. An elder in our presbytery who says, when I go to do my devotions, I sit in my study and I am too stirred up to concentrate. To study, all the work he's supposed to do is looking at him. So I sing a psalm, he says, and then I can concentrate on my devotions. Sing a psalm first in my devotions, then I can pray, then I can read. Yeah. Music does this. So when you concentrate, particularly in music, on who Jesus is, and on what he has endured, on what he does and what he will do, then you can have peace. Psalm 23, follow your shepherd and be at peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the shepherd you have ordained for us.
We thank you that we have such a shepherd, one who has laid down his life for his sheep. And we thank you that he is no ordinary shepherd. We thank you that he can lay down his life and take it up again. And so help us both to sing to Jesus and with Jesus and about Jesus. But help us still more to be ever singing in our hearts and therefore living towards Jesus, for Jesus, and with Jesus. Let me pray these things in Christ's name.